you have a creative outlet? Do you find time to make some art? What kind of art do you make? Our guest this hour says you don't need to think you have talent to make beautiful art, and you don't need a lot of time. We'll find out why. We'll find out how we can be more creative right now. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 18th. We will talk with the author of Art Before Breakfast, and we will encourage you to make some art as you are listening to us this hour. And if you're so inspired, as I was during my show prep, grab a pencil and a piece of paper and draw something. How about the coffee cup right in front of you? Or your cat in the sink? My cat was in the sink this morning. The radio that you're looking at? Anything. And post it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I posted my quick drawing of a sunflower that I did in my office just before coming on the air. And I hope that you will join in with your questions and your experiences about creativity and making art. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post your question or your drawing on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet it at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest, very happy to have with us, Danny Gregory. He's the author of several books about drawing and creativity, including Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are. He is the co-founder of SketchbookSchool.com, and that is school spelled with a K. It's an online art school, and he blogs at DannyGregory's.blog.com. He joins us from the Argo Studios in New York City. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. So did you find some time to create some art before this interview?
Yes, I did. I drew my coffee cup while I was sitting here waiting to come on the air with you.
That's excellent. That's what I thought of doing that, but when I got to the office, I had a packet of sunflower seeds that a friend, had sent me along with a program suggestion. And that sunflower made me happy because it's cold and snowy outside right now.
That's nice.
and so I decided I would, I had a couple of markers in my on my desk, so I did a really quick and not very good drawing of this sunflower, but you know what? It made me happy.
Well, it worked for Van Gogh, so I guess it works for you too.
What do you mean it worked for Van Gogh?
Well, Van Gogh was, you know, he liked to draw and paint sunflowers too.
So. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Exactly. So, sorry, obscure reference, might be early in the morning for that.
And you're saying, though, I don't need to be, I have the talent of Van Gogh to create some art before breakfast.
Well, yeah, and Van Gogh is actually an interesting guy to talk about because he didn't start drawing until he was in his mid-20s. And if you ever look at the early drawings that he did, they're not very good. So he worked at it, and eventually he got to become Van Gogh. So, you know, there's hope for all of us in that.
But we don't even have to necessarily aspire to be a world-famous artist, right?
Not at all. In fact, you know, what I recommend people do is think less about what your final drawing is going to be and just enjoy the moment. Enjoy what you're doing. I'm sure that you had that experience as you were drawing, that it was just fun to do. It's not necessarily that you wanted to have a final picture to hang on the wall. It was just a way to fill those couple of minutes and to enjoy the moment, to get grounded, to be meditative, and then ultimately, I think, to feel refreshed. That's the experience that I have. Is it, you know, I did this drawing of my coffee cup, you know, I'll probably throw it in the trash on my way out of here, but it was just a nice interlude.
But you don't have to throw it out, don't you, sometimes? I mean, one of the things that I liked about this is that I could just put it up on the bulletin board, or I could save a journal of photos that I drew when I was on vacation.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I've documented my life for the last 10 or 15 years in drawings. I didn't start drawing until I was in my mid-30s. And when I started drawing, I started recording my life. I started recording the food that I ate, the coffee that I drank, the view out the window, the things that my pets did. And I have over 100 books now filled with all these moments in my life. It's really an incredible collection. But again, my focus was on just being in that moment and enjoying it, rather than necessarily thinking, I better fill 100 books.
Yeah, tell us what brought you to art, to drawing.
Well, my story is somewhat unusual. When I was little, I loved to draw. And when I was 7 or 8 years old, I drew less and less. I think that's pretty common. And I didn't draw or think about making art until, as I said, I was in my mid-30s. Just before that, my wife and I had had a son. And at the time of this incident, he was 10 months old. My wife and I, we lived in New York City. You know, we had a really wonderful life. I was working as a creative director in advertising for a successful firm here in the city. My wife was a fashion stylist, and she worked for magazines and photographers. And one morning in early June, she went on her way to work. She was going to do a photo shoot, and she slipped and she fell onto the subway tracks. A train rolled into the station, and three cars rolled over her body.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and she wasn't killed, but her spinal cord was damaged by the train. And she was left as a paraplegic. And for the rest of her life, she was in a wheelchair. So this was obviously, you know, in 1 minute to the next, our lives completely changed. You know, she was in the hospital for a couple of months. And when she got out, she was the kind of person who was super positive and a real, you know, she always looked for the bright in everything. And so she kind of got back to her life and she started working again. She had to look after our son. I mean, there's nothing we could do about that. So, you know, she got back to being a mom, to being, to doing her job and so forth. But for me, it was really a traumatic experience on so many levels. And one of the biggest things that it did to me is it kind of changed my view of life. I suddenly wondered, like, what is it all about? You know, we had this perfect life. What had we done wrong? Why had we been given this calamitous kind of experience? And I searched for answers for quite a while, trying to figure out what was the meaning of my life suddenly. And a while later, one day I had this sort of this feeling that I should go into the bathroom and I should open the medicine cabinet and I should draw the contents of this medicine cabinet. And I took a pen and a pad with me and I just sat down and I started doing it. I started drawing each object on each shelf and I worked my way down. And for about 10 or 15 minutes, I did this drawing. Well, when I was done, I just had this incredible feeling of peace and of being grounded and of seeing what was in front of me really clearly, because I had been spending a lot of time living in my head, you know, worrying about the future, trying to figure things out. But this experience of drawing just allowed me to be here now and to see this. And the next night, I did a drawing of my wife sitting on the couch. And I did this drawing of her really slowly. I looked at her carefully. And in some ways, I hadn't really seen her since this accident. I hadn't really seen her clearly. And now I was able to see her, to see how beautiful she was, to see how alive she still was, to see how she was the same person that I'd always been in love with. Nothing had really changed. And so drawing brought me to that. It brought me to that clarity. And so I started to just record my life. I just started to draw on the subway when I was going to work. You know, I would draw, if I was in a meeting, I might draw the phone. You know, there were just little things like that. And it just became a practice for me that was really important and kind of changed me back to the person I wanted to be.
That is,
that's a long story, I know, that's the answer.
It's a profound story, too. And we just have about a minute before we need to take our first news break, but not all of us necessarily have to have such a life-changing instance to decide to take this up. Why would all of us benefit from art before breakfast?
Well, I think a lot of the things that I experience, we can all experience, and we all want to experience. We all want to experience, you know, a sense of joy, a sense of understanding the world around us, a sense of really getting what we have, counting our blessings in a way, seeing the world around us clearly. It's also a way of of being engaged in the present. You know, we spend so much time living on email, on Facebook, on other technologies, which take us away from where we are now. But if we can suddenly see the moments of our house, of our life, that's a rich experience.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will talk more with Danny Gregory, author of Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are, about how we can find the time for creativity and why we would want to do that. And we wonder if you already do that. Do you create art? What kind of art do you create? Why is it important to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, many of us may harbor dreams of being more creative, but who has the time? We are talking with a guest artist and author who says we all have the time, and bringing art into our lives can be as simple as 15 minutes before breakfast. We are talking with the author of Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are, and welcoming your questions and welcoming your own creative expressions. Do you find time to make art? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post a question or a piece of art on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Just thought it might be a little bit of fun to see if you'd like to participate in this exercise with us. I did, before coming on the air today, draw a picture of a sunflower. It's nothing special, but I just wanted to give this a shot. And sure enough, there is a time before breakfast to create a little bit of art. And I posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Matt also posted a beautiful painting, a still life. It looks like wine and fruit. He said, I painted this between 1:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. this morning. Does this count? Yes, it does, Matt, and it's beautiful. Thank you for posting. Our guest is Danny Gregory, who is an artist and author of several books about drawing and creativity, including his very latest, Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are. And Danny, I know that that you're saying we don't have to spend a lot of time on Facebook, but I thought we could find more time to draw if we maybe weren't on Facebook much. But I just thought it'd be cute to have people share a little bit of their art that they might be creating. And this is just beautiful. Someone who painted this still life that in just an hour and a half this morning.
That's fantastic. I plan to go on Facebook and look at it too. Yeah. I certainly don't suggest that you never go on Facebook, but just don't do it to kill time. You know, you can use your time to make something beautiful instead, as Matt did.
Yeah, and it really is. So talk a little bit more. You know, there's somebody might be listening right now just saying, oh, boy, I barely have time for that cup of coffee. You know, how can I actually draw that coffee cup? What sort of tips do you have for us to get started?
Well, I think one of the things that people sort of struggle with is, what do I draw? You know, I think even if you found that you had 5 minutes, what do you draw? So what I suggest is, there's a million things around you that are interesting and meaningful to you, and that when you study them, suddenly you'll see them in a different way. It could be something as simple as the pair of shoes that you're wearing. If if it's 0 degrees out in Wisconsin, if you drew, your heavy winter boots and you did a little drawing, and then next to it you wrote something about the weather. That's a way of capturing that moment. Again, it could be a sketch that took you 5 minutes to do, but when you look back on it in the middle of the summer, let's say, it's just a way of capturing today and, reminding yourself that winter will end eventually. So there's all these little things that you can capture that will inspire you, that can be an inspiration for a piece of art.
Well, we have some callers. We have Keith in Beaver Dam with us. Hello, Keith.
Hello. Yes, I started some crafts and that, and I did some wood burning, and I needed to draw an eagle. And I can't draw for beans. And went on the internet, and I learned through that different ways to draw. There was a fellow on there from Italy that showed how to draw an eagle. And after about 100 tries, I got it right. And, man, I was pretty happy, and other people seen it. And so I think art is a great, great way to relax and express yourself. And I think more people should get involved in it.
Wonderful. And then what did you do with that eagle, Keith?
I carved it. I put it on a wood walking stick. So I had a screaming eagle on there. And then what I do with the walking sticks, I put, it's kind of a family tree. I put people's names and their kids and other dates on there. And then I put roses, and I couldn't draw at all. And I just started this, and it was exciting. Just really cool. And then you pay real close attention to details when you're out and about, like your guest has said, you really watch for details on other things, and it really opens up a world for you.
Danny?
I think that's fantastic. I think what's interesting about your story, Keith, is that you started with this project in mind. You had a particular reason to start drawing. And then you said you did it about 100 times. That's one of the funny things that we don't take into account, is that you sit down to do a drawing for the first time and you may not be happy with it. And you say, oh, well, I have no talent. I can't do it. But the fact is, you may not have drawn since you were a little kid. You did that drawing over and again until you got to a place that you were happy with. And that's sort of the key to it, is to have enough interest and have a kind of a burning need to do something, to excuse the pun. And then you found your way to a great drawing. I think that's part of what I'm trying to convey, is you need a purpose in what you're doing. And one of the great purposes is this record of your life that you could be creating. So in your case, you began by drawing this eagle, but I think you saw the kind of magical effect that it can have on you, and hopefully it's going to inspire you to just do drawing for its own sake.
Yeah. And you do, you talk about art with a little a. You say there's a difference between art with a capital A and art with a small a. What do you mean by that?
To me, art with a capital A is what we think of when we think of art. You know, it's kind of scary. It may be something that you see in a museum. You see it in a gallery. You hear about it being auctioned at Sotheby's for millions of dollars. It's art that's made by professional artists who are trained and who are ultimately doing it in order to make basically a product. And I think a lot of us look at that world and say, well, I can't possibly do that. I can't compete with that. Art with a small a is a really different thing, though. Art with a small a is just art made by regular people like you and me, just in the process of our lives. And I equate it with cooking. You know, you can, if we all thought about cooking and we thought, well, I've seen these cooking shows with chefs on it and they make incredible things and they run restaurants, I could never do that. And if you thought that to the point where you wouldn't cook dinner, wouldn't make a grilled cheese sandwich, that would obviously not be great. So to me, there's a distinction between this art that we make ourselves, art with a small a, which is accessible, which is fun, which is not to be judged, but it's just the experience that Keith had. You do something that you think is great and other people like it, or maybe you don't even share it at all. You just do it for the experience.
Yeah. Well, when you brought up the cooking issue, that reminded me, you have a section in the book, while you specialize in drawing and painting, maybe that's not our thing. Maybe it's, I think you said, hey, maybe put a harmonica in the shower and, play a tune while you're getting ready for work. So it can be all sorts of different ways to be creative.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different ways. I mean, Keith's example with wood burning and carving is another thing. But I like drawing. I think the drawing is something we all can do. But I don't think it necessarily has to be the be-all and end-all. You might start by drawing. And then what happens is you say to yourself, I didn't think I could draw, but look what I made. What else can I do that I didn't think I could do? And so that's why you might suddenly take on another craft. You might start writing stories. You might try out for a local theater play. There's all different kinds of things that once you start feeling a sense of kind of creative empowerment, you know, a realization that, in fact, you love making things and you want to see what else you can do. We just have to overcome this fear and reluctance that we have in one area, and soon all the dominoes start to fall and your life can change for the better.
We are talking about creativity for busy people. We are talking about why we would want to find some time to be creative. Talking with Danny Gregory, the author of several books about drawing and creativity, including the brand new Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are. And we are welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your experiences. What kind of art do you create? How do you express yourself creatively? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we invite you to play along and post perhaps a photo of your art on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. A number of people are playing along. We appreciate it. Wendy on Facebook says, a special time is when my grandson asks if he can come over and do art, and I always say yes. She shared a picture of her and her grandson holding up a painting of a woodpecker on a tree. And that's beautiful. Danny, you doing art with your is a great thing to do with your children too. That's a part of what you do.
Absolutely, and kids are just a source of incredible creative energy. Kids love to draw, they love to paint, they love to sing, dance, all kinds of stuff. They're completely unselfconscious about it, and that's a lot of the spirit that I like to have. I want to get back to that. I want to get back to that sense of freedom. Kids don't worry about, is it going to be any good? I'm sure you've had that experience where you do a drawing, where a kid does a drawing and shows it to you, and you say, well, what is that? And they say, well, it's Spider-Man, stupid.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
So, right, exactly. So I think it's like they, you know, they're not worried about it. And you shouldn't be either. It's and when you do it with them, you realize how much fun it can be.
Yeah. We go to Jason in Sparta now. Hello, Jason.
How are you doing there?
I'm good. What kind of art do you create?
We started going to farms and digging through their junk piles. And we went to Farm and Fleet and bought a plasma cutter.
A what?
And we take a plasma cutter.
Okay.
It's fairly cheap and it cuts metal.
Okay.
We take old plow discs and cut flowers out of them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It sounds kind of kooky, but the rougher you make them, the cooler they look. And we weld little gears onto the center of it for the center of the flowers and stuff. And we had originally started doing that just to have something to do together, me and my girlfriend. And the only problem we have is we can't keep enough inventory to go to a craft show.
Oh, my goodness. So you're selling what you create.
As soon as we post it on Facebook, we usually sell it within the day.
That's amazing. So let me get so your old farm equipment. You cut images of flowers out of the metal and put that together in some sort of sculpture?
Yes, ma'am. Just like the head of the flower itself out of an old plow disc. And we take, like, tractor seats and tractor fenders and make benches out of them and...
Wonderful.
Every farm's got a junk pile, and they'll let you dig through it for free, mainly.
Yeah.
I give them $20 as a nuisance fee, but...
Oh. Well, Jason, besides having a craft that is profitable for you, apparently, what else do you get out of doing this?
Just the enjoyment of me and my girlfriend having something to do together, you know, and a lot of the little neighborhood kids come by and want to help us, and we teach them how to do it, and they have fun, and it's just kind of a good outdoor activity, and it's something that really brought me and my girlfriend a lot closer together.
Well, there you go. What do you think, Danny?
I love that idea. I think that forming connections with other people through art making is really powerful. It's a great way to keep doing it. And the internet is a really important part of that, too. I think that more and more people are discovering that, you know, like your participants in the Facebook page, that there are people out there who want to see what you're doing. They want to be inspired by it as well. And the internet allows us to share that, to create a community. One of the things that that I've been involved with is, as you mentioned before, is Sketchbook School. And that's a community. We have about 10,000 people now from all around the world. And they're making art and sharing it together, commenting on it, supporting each other and doing it. And that just encourages you to do it more. And that seems to be the experience that Jason is having with his girlfriend and with his neighbor's kids, this idea that let's do it together and then let's see what else we can do.
So do you encourage us to do something like a sketchbook school or learning professionally how to improve our skills or just enjoy the ride?
Well, certainly enjoy the ride. My concept behind Sketchbook School was not really to teach you techniques so much as to inspire you and to give you exposure to other people who are making stuff. That's really the best way to learn. I find from my own experience that being taught in a kind of classroom experience, very specific skills, here's how exactly you draw an apple, that kind of thing is less fun. It's less exciting. It's less inspiring. It becomes like a chore. It becomes like schoolwork. But just being around other people who are doing stuff that's like this is really the core kind of part of it. If you feel like, you know, and if you do what I suggest, which is to carry around a little sketchbook and just doodle and draw the things that you're encountering, you'll start seeing other people come over. And when they do, at first you'll be self-conscious. You'll think, oh, no, I don't want them to see this. My drawings are terrible. But what instead they'll do is they'll look at it and they'll say, I wish I could do that. How did you start doing that? You're so good. And that just makes you feel better and makes you want to do it more.
Yeah, that's great. I took a watercolor painting class one time, and you're right. I got some enjoyment out of it, but it became kind of a chore. And boy, did I! That's hard. You're a watercolor. You paint with watercolors too, don't you?
I do, but I like to say that I kind of color with watercolors, you know? I mean, we look at watercolors as like this kind of scary medium, oh no. And again, you think about art with a capital A, great watercolorists. But really, I mean, kids play with watercolors. It's the basic kind of poster paints are a form of watercolors too. So start that way. Just say, you know what, my shoe is brown. I'm going to watercolor this brown over my drawing, you know, and just start there and feel loose. Don't feel intimidated. It's all fun.
Yeah. So I guess going back to my sunflower this morning, it really does not look like the sunflower that's on the seed packet. It didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted it to. How do you recommend we approach drawings that don't turn out the way we want? What kind of attitude should we have about these maybe what we consider clunkers?
Well, I think what happens is you set out with a picture in mind, you know, and you say, okay, I know what this is going to look like when it's done. And then you feel disappointed because it didn't turn out exactly that way. And, you know, you think, oh, no, I'm no good at this. Perhaps a better way of looking at it is, you know what, it turned out differently than I thought it was going to. You know, that something inside my brain created something different. It took what I saw and it added some me to it. And so the drawing came out differently. And just accept it for that. A lot of times if you do a drawing that you think is lousy at that moment because it didn't turn out exactly right, put it away. Look at it the next day. Look at it a week later, and you'll have forgotten that connection. And you'll be able to judge it for what it is, which is beautiful. It's something that you made. I think that mistakes are lessons. You know, they're great teachers. And they teach us things like, well, maybe I should slow down. Or maybe I should do this more often. Or maybe the sunflower seed, you know, maybe the flower is actually less round in the middle and some of the leaves are longer than I thought. Those kinds of little lessons just make you do another drawing and maybe do it a bit better.
We will check news once again from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will talk more about the benefits of creating art. And we will wonder what sort of art you create or what questions you have for our guest, artist and author Danny Gregory. He is author of Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are. He is also the co-founder of SketchbookSchool.com, an online art school, and blogs at DannyGregory'sBlog.com. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And don't forget to check out the art that people are posting on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and post something of your own. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about creating art. And we are welcoming your own creative expressions. We're welcoming your questions for our guest, Danny Gregory, who is author of Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I did want to talk to you a little bit, Danny, about the zillion ways that we can be more creative no matter how busy we are, talking about, you know, just right now at breakfast, drawing your coffee cup is one thing, but you're saying, you know, you're on the bus or you're at the gym or you're at the office, just about anywhere, right?
Absolutely. It's just a matter of having a little sketchbook with you and a pen and just those minutes where, you know, you're just sort of sitting there. Even if you're having a conversation with somebody, you could be drawing while you're doing it. The key is to do it a couple of times a day. And what you'll find is, at first you may have to kind of force yourself a little bit to have this habit. Within a few days, it'll become natural, it'll become fun. And you'll go from documenting the things around you. You know, you're waiting in the car while somebody goes into the supermarket, let's say, and you start to draw the dashboard of your car. You start to examine it. You start to look at it really carefully. And then, you know, you start drawing each knob. You start drawing the steering wheel. And then what may happen is after time, after you've been doing this for a while, you'll say, well, I want to go out and find new things to draw. And then you'll go and you'll, you know, on a weekend, perhaps you'll take an hour to go and drive to a different location and to draw a building that you've passed many times before. And you just want to kind of stop and study it. And then ultimately, perhaps you'll go on vacation, you'll travel somewhere else, and then you'll start drawing new and different things. It just becomes a habit that accompanies you wherever you go.
Let's go to another call. Eric in Kenosha. Hello, Eric.
Good morning. I was so excited to hear the previous caller talking about repurposing farm equipment. It just sounds like such a Wisconsin thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually repurpose cameras, old cameras that I have inherited, and I have given some to a friend of mine who makes art out of them. He takes them apart and uses the pieces. But there's so much, you know, there's so many design elements in manufactured items. It seems a shame to just throw them away when they're done, when there's so much you could do with them. And so I'm not much of a drawer. I don't have that skill, and maybe I'll work on it. But I see, you know, there's a lot of beauty in the symmetry of, you know, manufactured objects, a camera lens, a keyboard, a circuit and things. Those are the things that I find very exciting to work with.
And you do make other things out of them?
Yes. Well, I'm just getting started. Like I said, I have a friend who does this. And he puts them together in very unusual pieces of art. You know, he may have a circuitry board and a spring and a lens or something. I'm trying to fit lenses together to make a clock. I haven't quite gotten the idea. You know, it's rolling around in my head. I've got all the pieces. I just haven't quite put it together on paper yet. But yeah, take them apart. They're fascinating, especially the older ones. The mechanical parts of them are just amazing. It's like looking at the inside of a mechanical watch.
Thank you very much, Eric. This is good stuff for the brain, Danny.
It is interesting. I mean, I think what Eric is describing is a bit different than what I'm talking about. But I love the fact that he's thinking creatively, that he's observing, that he's looking at things as being different than they are. I think that what Eric is describing is a project, you know, so he's thinking about it. He's then eventually going to get the right tools. He's going to sit down and do it. Hopefully he'll get to it. I think that that's slightly different than just making creativity into a regular part of your everyday, where you don't have to have a big chunk of time and space set aside and the right tools. It's just simply something you're doing while you're listening to this radio show, you know, while you're listening for waiting for the kettle to boil in the morning or the toaster to pop, is just to spend a couple minutes documenting that and just studying it and kind of going into that moment of meditative calm that you get. I think Eric will get a lot out of what he's doing. It's a slightly different process than what I was describing.
Yeah, it's interesting because you talk about how this really helped you stay grounded and live more in the moment. And you also describe it as almost meditative.
I think it's absolutely meditative because, I mean, for me, my brain is too, kind of moves around too much for me to just sit and, you know, in the lotus position and chant. But for this allows me to slow down, to stop that kind of little voice in your head that's always going 24/7, and to just say, I'm going to take a minute for me. I'm just going to make something quietly, you know, just now before the craziness of the day starts. That's what I like about the idea of art before breakfast. Is you might say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to set the alarm 10 minutes earlier today so I can get up and just have a little time for me before the day starts.
Well, Brooke shared a picture of a cat sitting on the moon. It's quite nice. And she posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And she wrote, I painted this after a rough day a few weeks ago. Talk some about that in terms of, I guess it's mental boosting qualities.
Sure, it's like decompression, you know. It's just a way of saying, I want to stop dealing with everything that's moving on around me, and I just want to have this moment to focus. And that will clear my brain. I mean, I can find that when I do a drawing, it's almost like taking my brain and like giving it a massage, giving it like a steam bath or something, you know, just refreshing it. And I think you can have that experience of going to the gym with your body, where you come out, you're kind of tired, but you feel rejuvenated. That's what art making can do. It can just relax you, focus you, refresh you, and get you ready to keep going.
This is kind of sweet. Bill posted on Facebook not a photo but a comment, and he's talking to someone else who he hopes probably is listening. And he writes, "I'm listening while I row." So I'm guessing he might be at the gym, on a rowing machine. Remember when we talked about staying in the moment when you were in Rome, Anna? One of his friends. Mm-hmm. Here's a way to do that I didn't think about. Don't stop drawing, Dolly.
That's a really sweet quote. It sounds like the experience that they had on vacation.
Yeah.
That feeling of like, you know, this is for us. And also looking around. If they're looking around Rome, it's a new place. They're seeing it with new eyes. A lot of times I find if I go away on vacation and I am drawing, then when I come back to my regular life, I suddenly see it differently. You know, I'll look at the way that, you know, cars look on the street, or the way that we, you know, drink, buy a cup of coffee in the street. That kind of thing is a reminder of this vacation that I had. And the fact that it's, you know, sometimes we take our regular day for granted, but on vacation, our eyes are open. Wouldn't it be great to live like that all the time?
Yeah. Janine in Green Bay says, I have a friend who volunteers at prisons, and a lot of the inmates draw because it is very good therapy. They are quite talented. Comment on that?
Yeah, in fact, it's something that I am thinking of getting involved with here in New York, if you're in prison, you know, clearly something, you aren't quite seeing the world perhaps the way that it should be. I think that drawing is a way of grounding yourself, perhaps a way of getting some of your emotions out, and for making the time that you're passing more productive. I think it's an excellent therapy, and for the rest of us too, you know, to be in prison to do it.
Yeah, so what if we find that we're getting better and better at what we're doing? What's your advice as we make this time for art before breakfast, and where we might go with it?
I think it's an opportunity to keep playing. So you might start out with just a ballpoint pen and a cheap pad. And then one day you might say, you know what, I want to try and put a little color into it. So you go to the art supply store, you buy yourself some watercolors. You might buy yourself some colored pencils. You might go out and buy just a box of 64 crayons and start playing with those. Then you might move on. You might want to take a ceramics class. You might want to do sculpture. There's a lot of other things that you can do. But I would just start with this really fundamental thing. Don't go out and spend a bunch of money at the art supply store yet. You know, reward yourself with that and use it as a way to kind of expand. But start out simply and see how much fun you can have with those simple tools.
Catherine emails, this is the reason why we need art in our schools. It is a whole different world of details, emotional release, connections, documenting our life, stories of the moment visualized, on and on and on.
She's absolutely right. I do a lot of work with schools because drawing is a great way to learn. It's a great way to learn about the natural world. It's a great way to learn about history. There's all kinds of stories that you can tell with drawing. We tend to think of art making in schools as being just sort of a pastime. You know, it's just, well, they're never going to become artists. Why are we wasting time with that? Art is a way of exploring the world, and that's what little kids do. They use their crayons to understand the world around them. But unfortunately, we don't keep encouraging it. We encourage them just to use words because, you know, reading and writing seems like a more essential skill. It's a shame.
Well, in our last minute, what is your hope for people who have been listening? What role do you want to see art playing in our lives in general?
I would love it if art was just a regular part of what you do. You know, it wasn't super special. It was just a regular thing that you did for fun. It was like listening to the radio. It was like going to the gym. It was like cooking dinner. It's just one more thing that you do, so you're not afraid of it, and you can express yourself, and you can realize how great you are, you're encouraged to find new skills to explore the world around you. Don't be set in your ways. Explore and challenge yourself and have fun and grow. That's my lesson.
Well, an inspiring one it was. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Danny Gregory, author of several books about drawing and creativity, including Art Before Breakfast, A Zillion Ways to Be More Creative No Matter How Busy You Are, co-founder of the Sketchbook School with a K.com. An online art school. He blogs at DannyGregorysBlog.com. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Cynthia Schuster and to Kayla Blado for producing this hour. And thank you for listening. And thanks for sharing your art. You can continue to do so on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.